In the introduction to the book, Active Hope, by Joanna Macy and I think Chris, I'm not remembering the other woman who is the co-authors and a true co-author with Joanna Macy's. Matt Fox, who somebody we know has recently been in his company, Judith, says, our species is going through a collective dark night of the soul. And he calls to us to pay attention to what Joanna Macy is saying in her book and the process that she's calling the Great Turning. I do want to go back to the conference that I attended with Matt Fox and Joanna Macy that Still Point put. Any of you were there? I think, Ginny, were you there? Anybody else? This would have been a good 20, 25 years ago. It was at La Casa. And Joanna Macy's and Matt Fox both spoke to us really very urgently about the nuclear trigger point we were on and our need to put everything aside to speak to that. But she wanted us to be centered in who we are. And so the memory, that's a body memory I have, of we had maybe 80 people in the workshop for the weekend. We had an hour or two where we wandered through the property and then we stood in front of someone. And we stood with the first person for about 10 minutes and did nothing but look at them. With love, with gratitude, with openness. I don't remember the real specifics of it. I have a body memory of doing it. And I actually have a memory of what place I was at La Casa in Regina, because in that room that I stood each of the three times we stood. And each time she upped it. And if I were to say what we did the other times, I'd be making it up now, because I really don't remember it. I do remember the felt sense of grieving, but I also remember the felt sense of gratitude to these other courageous people who were there, who did not want their consciousness to be limited just to nice things. And yet I know how hard it is not to have your consciousness limited to nice things. When I saw the mass migrations happening and people going to Germany and in Hungary, I've been to nearly all the places we've seen there. Budapest, I love that city, to see all the ugliness that was happening because of those mass migrations. You know, I forgot what I was going to say. Yes.
We have to be willing to let our mind not just be filled with beautiful things.
Yes, thank you. That's right. That if I want to be conscious, I have to look at that. And I've had people come to me who, I know what I was going to say, who would say, oh, I wish I could have a Syrian family come and live with me. And I thought, my God, not me. You know, I really don't want my nice life at Encina Royale disturbed. I have a very simple life. We have a one-bedroom apartment. It's under 800 square feet. It is absolutely wonderful. I don't want that disturbed. I don't know if it will be disturbed, but I don't want it disturbed. I don't want a world filled with terror or filled with strange people or filled with neighbors who don't think the same way as I do. And yet I don't guess I have a chance to be the one who casts the determining vote. But one thing I do want is I want to be conscious. I've done a lot of death work in my life. I want to be conscious when I die. I am so sure I want to be conscious when I die. And some people don't understand that. I think it's a grace. But I don't really fear death. I fear being a patient with Alzheimer's and not recognizing my husband. There are other things I fear, but I don't fear dying. And I absolutely am frozen at the thought, which I don't think is inevitable, but the thought that conscious life, as we humans have achieved it, could end this soon, like 300 years from now. That fills me with ice. And I think that I am willing not to buy more clothes, if somehow that's going to make a difference. There are things I am willing to do. But what I'm more than anything willing to do is to find other folks who will come together and do what we did during the nuclear crisis, when we had Pax Christi was our main group that many of us belonged to. We met regularly, and that was such an unbelievable support. That community is, we can't do it without community. We must have community, or our hearts will shrivel or turn to ice first, maybe. So one of the things that Joanna Macy says, she says there are three stories. We could do business as usual, little change to the way we live. Two, we could have a great unraveling, collapse of ecological and social systems, the disturbance of climate, depletion of resources, and mass extinction of species. Thank goodness she doesn't go into that. She said, we could have a third story, where we won't let the second story have the last word. And she calls this story the Great Turning. It involves active hope. And I will just tell you a little of what she proposes in it. Obviously, it's a whole book, Active Hope. And I think I mentioned it earlier, that when I was trying to see how I would write this third section, this last section, I went through all my Kindle, and there was Joanna Macy. I had read half the book, and I hadn't even remembered it. And so I moved it up into first place. If anybody wants to see any of the book, it's that first one there. I found out I could not make it cover the whole space, but Active Hope. Okay, she says, whenever you act on behalf of something greater than yourself, you begin to feel it acting through you with a power that is greater than you. This is grace. Today, as we take risks for the sake of something greater than our separate individual lives, we are feeling graced by other beings and by Earth itself. Those with whom or on whose behalf we act give us strength and eloquence and staying power we did not know we had. She didn't actually write that. Somebody called Tom Atla, who has a program called Co-Intelligence. I'd kind of like to have co-intelligence with him. Okay, so I'm going to just outline what she calls the Great Turning. She has these things, which I saw from a distance. You're not going to be able to see. The green is not clear. But I'll say the 4 points slowly. She has these actually in a big circle because she sees that one turning informs the next turning, informs the next turning. So you could imagine these placed 1, 2, 3, 4 as a kind of spiral. She has coming with gratitude, so that any time you feel like you might want to read something that you don't know about this, don't neglect first coming with gratitude. Gratitude for whatever rises in your heart. Then secondly, honoring our pain, because that's going to be fast following it. Honoring our pain. Not pretending this isn't painful, that it isn't shitty, that it isn't the way it had to be. Third, seeing with new eyes. Seeing with new eyes. And that is where creation is never stopped. We didn't have a planet created and then now it's in trouble. Creation is ongoing. And so seeing with new eyes is our participating in creation as we come together. It is within this whole context she sees doing it with other people, not doing it alone. And then lastly, going forth as an individual, going forth as a group, but going forth. I don't know about you what you were doing in like the 80s, but I was going to Las Vegas and my husband, not me, crossed the line and was arrested at the nuclear test site. You know, we were doing those kinds of things. They were not hardships, you know, but they were doing something. We were going forth. We were counted. You know, Bush likes to say there was no opposition to the bombing of Iraq. Yes, there was, and we walked up State Street, a whole lot of us. We were there, but we weren't there in the numbers needed to say it's not a good idea to have done that. But we've done it, and that's that. So what I'm not going to go into this because you need the whole book to sort of like prepare for that. What I want to sort of say is there is a delicious meal there. It is, what was this one phrase this guy did? When we act gives us strength and eloquence and staying power we didn't know we had. I believe that is true. Let me tell you some other chapters she has a title of them. One is The Epidemic of Loneliness. And the next chapter is Daring to Believe It Is Possible. Another chapter is Maintaining Energy and Enthusiasm. And the last is rather interesting. It's Strengthened by Uncertainty. Isn't that an oxymoron? That strengthened by uncertainty. So, Tom, could we again sing the song? And what I'd like us to do before we have general questions is to break into pairs or triples, you know, and just share anything you want. Anger, fear, gratitude, something you thought you could do with one other person before we have questions from the group. Any hippies here?
I was waiting, and the vision I was waiting.
It was nice to talk to one another, wasn't it? Yes. Collective wisdom, collective compassion, collective gratitude, gratitude for being here, for having this kind of a group, and, you know, gratitude for living in Santa Barbara. For will or for woe, we might be one of the last places that has to deal. Santa Barbara is not even subject to floods, really, of any substance. Don't say that. We've had our fires. No, we have to take some stock of the fact that we live in an incredibly yang territory, and that you know, so that can sometimes keep us out of the tenement halls where we don't even know what the writing is on the tenement halls, you know. But I'd like to hear from you. But Joe, just before you do, or as you get, you could start coming up. I want to tell you with one of the things I have started with myself. This a book I've been aware of for a while. It's called Moral Ground. And it is like a collection of 70 people. There are 4, 5, 6 pages of the subtitle of the book under Moral Ground is Ethical Actions for a Planet in Peril. Ethical Actions for a Planet in Peril. I'm not going to try to lift that down. It's the editors are Moore, M-O-O-R-E, and Nelson, N-E-L-S-O-N. I get the Huffington Post on my line, and I get Catholic, National Catholic Group, and it's advertised nearly every day that I was looking at stuff lately. It's advertised down there, so I resisted getting it on my Kindle and got it in Truth. Many of these are 4 pages long, and I have not tried to do one a day. I just try to do one whenever I feel depressed about the topic. It's like my go-to aspirin or, you know, and then every now and then they're collections. One is, how can we fulfill our obligation to protect the earth for its own sake? And then there are people whose comments in it have in some way addressed it. And it doesn't sort of knock you down, weight you down. So their subtitles are What moral obligation do I have to protect the future? Yes, for the survival of humankind, and then there are about 10 essays. Yes, for the sake of the children. Yes, for the sake of the earth. And it goes on like that until you have... I see Marcus Borg here. He has one in there too, Keith. Yes. Okay, nobody here? How about some people coming? Alice, could I ask you, is Alice still here? Alice, did she have to leave early? Alice, okay.
I have a quick question.
Yeah.
Years ago, we had Elizabeth Sartoris come, and she made a very filled with hope presentation, and it was based on the book she wrote after spending 15 years in Greece, living on an island in a boat on the ocean, observing nature. And her big conclusion was that the earth is innately equipped with an instinct of survival, uh-huh. and that it can be creative when it is threatened and find a way out. So I wonder if she was maybe overly optimistic. It would be great to hear from her now.
Would be.
And unfortunately, I think she left town. She's doing another research somewhere. But we had access to her. She was living in
Santa Barbara. Google her and see if she's writing.
Yeah, it would be nice to hear what she... Because she's a evolutionary biologist.
Yes.
And so she's not
What's the name?
Elizabeth Sartoris.
Elizabeth Sartoris, I've heard of...
She is an evolutionary biologist.
Yes.
And she wrote a book, you know, a couple inches thick about this, you know. So she's a scientist.
Yes.
And a highly respected scientist who sat on worldwide panels next to Gorbachev, you know.
Yes.
And I just wondered where she is now, if she still believes that.
Yes.
Know,
so. Well, you know, the scientists are saying if things continue on, you know, with the amount of CO2 we already have in the air, we're going to have more migrations. We just saw what chaos migration causes. That's just one little thing. We're going to have more floods. We're going to have more fires in the thing. We're going to have...
And the bees. The bees dying.
The bees dying. We're going to have more problems until, you know... And I gave that image that I had from childhood of while we watched one version of at the movie theater of a serial, and you saw the hero and heroine in a room in which the walls were getting closer and closer, and then the next time they showed us, meanwhile, back on the ranch, there was something. I think we need to put our energy into that hope that there is something that the earth has up at her sleeve that can do things.
Or surprise us.
Surprise us. I think we need to do any way in which we can plant hope, active hope. I certainly didn't do justice to Macy's book. We've got to do that. And, you know, it's so hard to imagine, but I think we have to imagine it's possible. Our imagining doesn't make it possible.
But then act accordingly, too.
Yeah. Yes, but our imagining could act help us act differently.
Yeah.
I mean, if I thought it was... Absolutely. If I knew there was an asteroid coming to hit us right now, I don't know if I would have told you. You know, because...
What came to hit us? What?
An asteroid.
Oh.
You know, I mean, it'll be all over.
Yeah.
But I do think we have to make use of the time we have in the most loving, courageous, intelligent way possible. And, you know, put light a fire under the people who know how to manipulate things. I'll share one image here. I've been watching Colbert. in his new story, his new, you know. And he had on, some of you could help me, but it's a Tesla guy. His name? Yes, he is the one who also has a launch vehicle to go to Mars, and he's working meanwhile on all the apparatus needed to keep humans alive on Mars. What if that it could be used for Earth if it got that bad? It'd be a lot easier to use that on Earth than in Mars,
yeah.
You know, to see it or save. So the worst thing I could think of, I could also think of a solution already happening. And there are other minds more ingenious than I am. If things... And no, folks, Alice, okay, no, folks, that by disposition I'm a despondent. Ever since I was in high school, I learned I was a melancholic. And when I wasn't a melancholic, I was a phlegmatic. So, Alice,
Just one quick thing. I just saw a quote, and I don't remember who said it, and the essence was, survival is not to the strongest, but to the one most responsive to change.
Yes. And this will end with this.
Yeah, I don't want to run over time, but it's funny. Christiane, where are you? If I had come up first, I was going to talk about Elizabeth Sartoris, who's an evolutionary biologist, and her explanation, and you're right, there's something within nature itself that can survive, and she uses the metaphor of the caterpillar and the butterfly, and how as the caterpillar crawls along, it consumes everything. It just keeps consuming until it starts to get sluggish, and it can't operate anymore, can't sustain itself, becomes unsustainable, and it develops a cocoon, and while it's breaking down, there are imaginal discs within the caterpillar that carry the image of the butterfly. And the immune system of the caterpillar starts to kill these off, but they start to connect at greater and greater speed until they actually become cells. And then they start to connect and they hold the image of the butterfly until the butterfly then can fly out of the cocoon. So we can be the imaginal cells within our history at this time, holding the wholeness that it's going to take to survive and come through.
So do you know in the chrysalis, it's the fluid is absolutely clear. You can see no structure with your eyes before the decomposing caterpillar becomes the new butterfly. It just totally goes. I'm not saying that under a microscope you couldn't see things, but to the clear eye it looks just like water. And then it reforms. So that is an unbelievably powerful image for us to hold, and I appreciate that so much, and I'm getting a call. Thank you.